May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Giving and receiving. We all know that in our relationships, we both give and we receive. Depending on our age, our context, or our situation in life, we might spend more time giving to others or more time receiving from others. But in healthy adult relationships, there will always be a balance of giving and receiving. In our relationship with God and our relationships within the church, we are also called to both give and to receive. So I'd like to think very briefly this evening about both giving and receiving, especially as this relates to the three different elements of this special service this evening: the foot washing, the Eucharist, and the silent watch at the end of the service. As we gather here, we remember the Last Supper that Jesus shared with his friends before his death. In John's account, which we just heard, the focus is not on the meal itself, the breaking of bread and the sharing of the cup, as in the other gospel accounts, but on Jesus' action during the supper. Jesus gets up from the table, takes off his outer robe, ties a towel around his waist, and begins to wash his disciples' feet. This is a truly remarkable thing, for this was usually the humble duty of a slave. And it wouldn't have been a very pleasant duty, as in the hot and dusty climate, feet would have often become very dirty and very smelly. But Jesus, their master, takes this role upon himself, kneeling down to wash his disciples' smelly feet. John tells us that Jesus knew he had come from God and was returning to God, yet he takes on himself this humblest of tasks. We may be reminded of Paul's words that Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Here, as Jesus kneels at the disciples' feet, we see a visual demonstration of the humility of the servant king, the servant God. In serving his disciples in this way, Jesus sets them an example. He tells them, "You also should do as I have done to you." They are called to give themselves in love and service to one another. And we too, in following Jesus, are called to give ourselves humbly to one another and to others in need. But the lesson the disciples have to learn is not simply about giving, it's also about receiving. And this, in fact, is the harder lesson, especially for Peter. He is uncomfortable, embarrassed, even outraged at the prospect of Jesus washing his feet. It doesn't seem right to Peter for Jesus to stoop down and wash his tired, grimy, and unsightly feet. It offends his sense of the right order of things. I'm sure he would have been very eager to wash Jesus' feet, but he didn't want to receive such a service from Jesus, his Lord and Master. I think we all know that sometimes in some contexts, receiving can be harder than giving. Some people are by nature givers, and they like to define themselves by the fact they're always giving to others and helping the others out. But when their turn comes to receive help, they don't want to accept it. But we all need to have the humility to receive, as well as the generosity to give. This is important in relationship to one another, but it is even more important in relation to God. We have to receive God's grace before we have anything to give. So the disciples have to receive Jesus' washing and cleansing before they can follow his example in humbly serving one another. Now, of course, this lesson is not simply about washing feet. When Jesus says, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me," he's talking about the deep washing, the cleansing and forgiveness which he offers them and us through his death. We don't do anything to deserve that washing and cleansing, but we desperately need to receive it. So we see that dynamic of giving and receiving in the account of the foot washing. We also find it in the Eucharist itself. As we celebrate communion, we remember all that God has done for us in Christ. We remember Jesus' giving of himself for us. "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." We have to take, we have to receive the bread and the cup which is given to us. At the heart of our Eucharist is a simple receiving. We come with empty, cupped hands to receive. Just as we need to be washed, so we need to be fed. But at the same time, however, as we receive the bread and the wine, as we are nourished through Christ's life poured out upon us, we also give ourselves to God. Even the simple gesture of the cupped hands reminds us of that. When we come to the altar, we come to receive God's gift of life to us, but we also give to him all that we are, with our weaknesses, our sins, our failures, our strengths, our gifts, and our joys. There is a giving and a receiving. At the end of our communion service, we usually conclude with the prayer, "Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory." Having received the bread and the wine, having been nourished by Christ's offering of himself for us, we then offer ourselves back to God to live for his glory. We have a different prayer after communion today, in which we thank God that in this wonderful sacrament, God has given us the memorial of the passion of his Son. And we pray that we might then show forth in our lives the fruits of his redemption. Having received all that God gives to us, we are to live that out in our lives as we give to others. After this prayer, our service this evening has no formal conclusion. There's no blessing. There is no dismissal. Instead, the altar is stripped bare as we listen to Psalm 88. We remember the stripping of Jesus as he is beaten, tortured, and executed. And the church is made bare for Good Friday tomorrow. After the stripping of the altar, we listen to the Gospel of the Watch. And then we are encouraged to stay and pray in silence for as long as we can. And in this silent watch, there is also a giving and a receiving. During the silence, we might want to ponder the words of the Gospel of the Watch. This is what Jesus has been through for us. Can we hear it and receive it? We might want to ponder our part in the story. Are we like the disciples who fall asleep in the garden? Are we like them when they flee when he's arrested, or like Peter when he denies he knows Jesus? But in order to receive the word into us and to receive God's grace in the silence, we need to open ourselves to God, to give ourselves to God as we are, with all our failures, our brokenness and sins, and our lack of faith. It's the equivalent of offering our dirty, smelly feet to be washed. Perhaps as we seek to pray, the spirit may be willing, but the flesh may be weak, just as the disciples in the garden. But let us seek in the silence to offer the whole of ourselves to God and to be open to receive. Perhaps we might want to cup our hands as we pray in silence this evening, just as we do when we come to the altar. This reminds us that we come before God both to give ourselves and to receive from him. Giving and receiving. Let us seek to give ourselves to the one who has first given everything to us. Amen.